You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Francisco Giants. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I am here for my weekly chat with my friend and colleague, Chris Hess, who covers the Giants for MLB.com and is leaving for spring training very soon. But before we go to spring training, I want to talk about, I like talking about FanFest, because the specific question I have is how many people attended. And the reason I asked is because a few years ago, I find this like fascinating. The Giants had a huge problem after one of the World Series that they won. And there was a little bit of a heightened interest in the Giants, believe it or not. And apparently like 40,000 people tried to go to FanFest, to where the front office was like telling people not to come on the radio because it was so crazy. So we're coming off of a World Series here. How was the attendance at FanFest? Was it manageable, or was it out of control?
It was pretty healthy, Allison. It was very healthy, but it was also very manageable. It wasn't quite that 40,000 figure, largely because of inclement weather that day or the threat of it. So the weather actually helped the Giants a little bit, because they helped them avoid some potential problems. Of course, since that one time, they've learned their lesson, and they've had it's even though it's just a small, maybe it's just a drop in the bucket, they'll have timed entries for season ticket holders to get autographs and stuff like that. So they've learned their way around their own park, and with the fans, how to, I guess, to borrow a well-used phrase, curb the enthusiasm, so to speak, or at least funnel it into the right directions.
So the basis of the Giants fan fest consists of like player autographs and maybe some Q&A sessions, right? I mean, it seems to be pretty like on the field and pretty organized in that way, but there's not really a lot of bells and whistles besides that.
Yeah, it's funny. Everybody seems to, I guess, know their place in a way. The players know how, the players have just enough interaction with the fans, and everybody seems to come away happy. I don't quite know what it is. I'm usually doing something that, work-wise that day, and so I'm not able to run around as much as I'd like, but I've heard few complaints. Everybody seems to come away happy.
Yeah, that would be the case for the Giants. I mean, there's not a whole lot of unhappy fans anyway. But I just find it interesting. Casey McGee, who will be replacing Pablo Sandoval. I'm really pulling for this guy. He's a good player. He had a really good year at the Marlins last year, and he appeared in 160 games, which is a career high. Plate appearances, almost 700 plate appearances. He hit 287. He's got a big shoes to fill. And let me say that I'm one of the people that I don't think that Sandoval is going to have a lot of great fortune out besides his paycheck, but otherwise in Boston. I mean, I think that he made a mistake leaving. But that being said, Casey McGee is going to have to, play third base. And every time, if he has an 0-for-4 day, he may be hearing it for the fans. He seems to be handling it well. What kind of impression do you get from him?
He's very much aware of, who he's replacing at third base, but I get the sense that I wasn't able to talk to him one-on-one at all, but I get the sense that, he's professional enough, he's experienced enough to know that he just needs to play his own game. If he just plays his own game, even if he's just hitting singles, batting 270, 280, and playing making too many unforced errors at third base, the Giants are going to be happy, and he'll be happy. And the fans will be happy because, they've come to recognize, sincere effort here. It's gone a long way from the candlestick days. And look, people just showed up in a foul mood a lot of times to match the weather. And so if Casey McGee just plays his own game, he ought to be fine.
And they're going to have to make some offense somewhere. Brandon Belt feels like he's going to be back with a vengeance. I guess he would. I mean, he seems to be just a major cog in this whole thing. It could. I mean, not that it's all hanging in the balance dealing with him, but he would be a huge player in kind of the Giants' fortunes coming up, I would think.
Allison, you're absolutely right. You know, because there's a guy who, you know, conceivably can hit, you know, 20 home runs. He's one of the few guys in the lineup who can. You know, being a left-hand hitter, he can put the ball in McCovey Cove. Not too many of the other guys can. His so-called breakout year, 2013, he hit 17 home runs. I mean, it was, you know, it was a big lead from the previous year. You know, they expect him to, you know, after this injury, this past injury plague season, you know, continue that or get back on that track of progress that he appeared to have been on. There's no reason he can't. Just to look at him day in and day out, it seems like there's no reason he can't be a more productive player. I think sometimes he still gets susceptible to slumps in his confidence, if anything. But he at FanFest, he talked a good game, and he usually talks a good game. He's a smart kid. And again, there's no reason he shouldn't excel.
I like that you kind of ran down the sort of the question marks just around some of the injuries that the Giants have had to sustain and just things that could happen or may not happen. Or I find that Matt Cain, I know we've talked about him in the past, but I find him to be probably one of the more intriguing storylines just coming into the season because he's such a huge part of that rotation when he's healthy. And the question is it going to be healthy? But when you're looking at basically seven candidates for five starting roles with the Giants, of course, Bumgarner is right there at the top, and Matt Cain is in the mix here. So this is another one where, like you said, this could be like sort of, you know, better than getting that big money free agent if he can just come back and just be, you know, part of what he's been for so many years with the Giants.
Well, he sure talked a good game this past weekend at FanFest, and Matt's not one to pull people's leg. I think if he was still hurt, he'd hide the injury somehow. But I think we'd be able to tell that he wasn't going full bore emotionally. I mean, he seemed very unruffled, very, much at peace of mind this past weekend. I think he genuinely believes he's going to be able to pitch like he did before, maybe with even fewer physical encumbrance, so to speak, you know, the bone spurs that he had to pitch through. You know, how he did it all those years, I don't know, come looking back on it, but he did do it, and now he very well could be as good as new, which is what he indicated, you know, by saying that his range of motion is what it was when the Giants drafted him when he was a high schooler.
And do you think this is something that they'll know one way or another, like through spring training? I mean, he's either going to be able. It's going to be just sort of a weird thing because he's going to have to build up arm strength and. He's going to kind of have to show that he does have what he did have before, and he's also going to have to get ready for the season, presumably. But do you think that these are questions that can be answered at spring training, or would it be like a longer period of time that they'll really know what they have in him?
Yeah, they expect him, Allison, to be ready for the regular season, but you got to figure with him, Hudson, and his ankle, you know, so somebody's not going to be. Just by the law of averages, something's not going to be right when spring training turns into a regular season, when they turn that corner. And that's why they re-signed Ryan Vogelsong. You know, there's a guy who they know can make 32 starts if he has to, whether it's, filling in for Cain or whether it's filling in for Hudson, you know, either permanently or temporarily, or, if Tim Lincecum isn't round into form, and they have to leave Tim in the bullpen, and Vogelsong would take that spot in rotation. Well, you know, it's kind of an insurance policy, but Vogelsong was willing to play that role.
Yeah, I think that they're going to, when the season's over, I think they're going to look back at that Vogelsong signing as one of the biggest of the season. I don't know. There just seems to be so many question marks in this rotation, and you can't really shake it, you know, that feeling of uncertainty when you see some of the problems that, you know, guys have had for various reasons. It just seems like they're placing a lot of expectation and hope on things that could go a little bit wrong, I would think.
Yeah. Well, it's I think a lot of teams find themselves in, you know, in a similar situation as when the season begins, and you know, it's kind of remarkable they did as well as they did last year with as many guys as they had hurt. So if just half of them can maybe play the full season, you know, including or particularly, you know, Angel Pagan, the center fielder and leadoff hitter, you know. My God, I'm not predicting another World Series win for them, but maybe they can make the postseason for the second year in a row, which is something they haven't done for a while.
That's true. And there have been some there's been some news around the league. Some people are being honored by different Hall of Fames, and a couple of Giants figures were recently voted into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, and Dusty Baker being one of them, Barry Bonds being the other. Baker, I'm out. Who doesn't love Dusty? But this quote, think about how many bad dudes come out of the Bay Area, which is pretty, yeah, that's such a Dusty kind of quote. And yeah. So it's great for them. And Barry Bonds received more votes than any of the 2015 nominees. And really, in the Bay Area, I mean, you know, from the outside, we look at the Barry Bonds dynamic and, you know, his history is much different than people, I think, within the Bay Area. But he's still very loved there, isn't he?
You know, I'd say so. If people don't love him, they love the excitement that he brought. You know, I mean, it was especially there. You know, as he neared the home run, the all-time home run record, it was, you know, I mean, flash bulbs popping every time he came up to bat. You know, people would stop what they were, vendors would stop what they were doing to watch him. You know, it was a spectacle. It really was. You know, I think they needed or wanted to distance themselves from him, from the whole, you know, cloud of PEDs that kind of surrounded Barry, you know, there toward the end of his career. But, you know, now I think now the all these World Series wins have kind of, you know, cleared the air. And, you know, I shouldn't say ready to welcome him back with open arms. He never really... You know, he was always still, he always remained a, you know, key figure in the organization. But now it's, you know, I think they feel like they've got the Giants at the carte blanche to, you know, maybe offer him a part-time position or something like that. Let him be more a part of the franchise. His last year, you know, 2007, happened to be Tim Lincecum's first year. And it was just the perfect, you know, transition, you know, from one quote, unquote, face of the franchise to the next. And, you know, but now, again, now I think they can, you know, have Barry be more part of the day-to-day workings of the organization.
And he seems to be open to it. I mean, you see him around and you see his name out there and he's pretty visible. So he seems like somebody who really wants to get back into baseball in some kind of capacity.
I think he does. I think he still loves it. I think he'll always love it. I don't think he can be that good a player and not love it to some degree. Whether he wants to, you know, slog through the everyday routine that, you know, coaches do for 7 or 8 months out of the year, I don't think he wants to do that. But I think there'd be a mutual fit if it was like a, you know, role where, they call up and say, hey, Barry, go take a look at our AAA club. Or, hey, Barry, come to, you know, AT&T Park. We've got a homestand. You know, we haven't been scoring a whole lot of runs lately. Why don't you reinforce some of those messages you imparted in spring training? You know, almost be like a third hitting coach, because they have co-hitting coaches right now, Joe LaFay and Hensley Mullins. And when Barry comes around, the energy level just, you know, takes a quantum leap upward. So it's, they like having him around when he does come around.
Yeah, regardless of what you think about him, he is a very polarizing figure. So, anyway, Chris, thank you so much. Good luck with the travels to spring training, and we'll talk to you there.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.